appreciate it. Amen. It's a done deal. Praise God for that. All right. Colossians chapter 1. I have absolutely, thoroughly enjoyed all the singing today. It has been an absolute blessing. Colossians chapter 1. Aren't you glad the Lord is better to us than we deserve? Amen. Colossians chapter 1, let me get there, read several verses, and we'll pray together and look at some things this afternoon. Let's begin reading in verse number, let's see here. Well, you have to back up half of the chapter if you start. Let's just start in verse number 12. Verse number 12. The Bible says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I'll stop reading right there for the moment. We may go further than that as we look in these verses this afternoon, but let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the book of Colossians, the opportunity, Lord, to study this book. We thank you for your blessings upon us this day. Thank you so much for the good fellowship, the good singing, the wonderful Spirit of the Lord that's been in our services this morning, this afternoon. Thank you, Lord, for shouts of praise, and thank you for tears of joy. And our hearts has just rejoiced so greatly today. We thank you for that. I pray you would help us now as we look at these verses and speak through us the word of the Lord. Help us to draw strength and encouragement. And Lord, we'll sure thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. This past Wednesday, we looked at verses 13 and 14. And we talked about four things in those two verses. We talked about the fact that he hath delivered us. What a blessing it is to be delivered from the penalty of sin. I praise the Lord for that. Not only are we delivered from the penalty of sin, we can be delivered from the bondage of sin as well. Amen. The Lord will certainly help us with that. And so we thank the Lord for deliverance. We saw, second of all, that he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Before we were saved, we were children of the devil and the lust of our father, we would do, but I'm thankful that we have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. I'm no longer a child of hell. I am a child of God. What a blessing. Then we saw also in verse number 14, the fact that he has redeemed us. What a blessing it is to be redeemed. Amen. And I'm no longer bound by the curse and the bondage of sin. I have been redeemed. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly paid that redemption price, and I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I have been redeemed. I like that song too, don't you? I've been redeemed. Now, we saw also in verse number 14, the end of that verse, the forgiveness of sin. So, man, what a great, great little passage of Scripture. Now, I want to begin looking at something else here in verse number 13. I'll read verse 12, but verse number 13, I want to look at that. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even for the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. I think I might have said I was going to mention something in verse 13, but I meant verse number 15. We see that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. Now, hold your place here and come to John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. John, chapter number 1. And let's look at something here quickly. John, chapter 1. Look at verse number 18. In John chapter 1, verse number 18, the Bible says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the only visible image that we have of God. And this verse tells us concerning Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. Now, we won't turn there, but the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verse number 16, it reminds us that that Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh. Now, here we're in the Gospel of John, and although the world has never seen God the Father, we just read that in verse number 18 of John chapter number 1. By seeing Christ, we see the Father because Jesus is the image of God. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I like these verses. John chapter 14, great chapter in the Bible. My mind is getting, well, I don't practice anymore. I used to quote almost the entirety of John chapter 14. When my children were home and we were learning verses, I learned all of them with them. Amen. I wish I'd have continued to rehearse them at one time at pages and pages of Bible verses that we would quote throughout the week. But if you don't keep those up and going, you forget them. Amen. But anyway, we're talking about God being the, Jesus Christ being the image of God the Father. We see that. Look at verse number 8, John chapter 14. Philip saith unto him, "Lord, shew us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, shew us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? For the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works." So we see clearly here in this passage that Jesus declared plainly to His followers here that He and the Father were one. If you have seen one, you have seen the other. Now, come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this is prevalent in Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where the Bible says in verse number 4, the Bible says, "In whom the God of this world," that's speaking of Satan, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So we see again that the Lord Jesus Christ is the image of God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And then we'll go back to Colossians. Hebrews chapter 1. We'll see this again. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible says, "Who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He hath by Himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." And so we see again in the Bible that the only vision that we have of God the Father is His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ as Creator and Savior is the express image of God. Now, come back to Colossians chapter 1. We're still in verse 15. The Bible says, Colossians 1, verse 15, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Now, firstborns, obviously, is referring to birth, be it a physical birth or a spiritual birth. Speaking of a physical birth, in Genesis chapter 10, the Bible says this in verse 15, "And Canaan beget Sidon, his firstborn." And so we see that reference to a physical birth. We also see that reference to a spiritual birth in Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 22, speaking of the nation of Israel. And the Bible says there, "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn." And so speaking here in this passage of Scripture, the firstborn of every creature, we understand that Christ was the firstborn son of Mary. We know that, Mark chapter 6, verse number 3, meaning that Mary birthed other children after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that to be true as well. And so this, comparing Scripture with Scripture, this word firstborn here in verse number 15 ties together with the word firstborn we'll see again in verse number 18. In fact, look what the Bible says there in verse number 18. It says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." The firstborn from the dead. So, in both passages, is referring to Jesus' resurrection. And I'm glad that we serve a living Savior, aren't you? And so, this is speaking of His resurrection. This is not speaking of something that some watchtower or some other religious organization teaches that Jesus was created because of this passage. But this doesn't have anything to do with Jesus being created at all. He is the Creator, amen. And so Jesus was the first person to come up from the grave and to stay alive. There's been some other folks who were raised from the dead, but they later died again. But Jesus, as the firstborn from the dead, He arose from the grave, and He's never going to die again. Amen. And so praise the Lord for that great truth. Now, there are other similar statements in the Bible. In fact, the Bible says, well, let's just look at it. Come to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. We'll look at this one place here. Revelation chapter 1. This whole passage through here is good. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." And so we see several times in the Bible about Jesus being the first begotten of the dead. And here we see in verse number 5, or in the passage that we read in verse number 18 of Colossians, first begotten from the dead. And so He's a living Savior. He's the first one to rise again from the dead and to remain alive. Now, come back to our passage. We're in verse number 16. Verse 15 says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Verse 16 says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him." And so we understand this. I think the majority of us, as far as I know, there's no one in here that thinks that we evolved. If you do think that, you're wrong. You don't believe the Bible. It is very clear from this passage and many others in the Bible that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Creator. And this verse gives us even great detail. He is by Him were all things created. Things that are in heaven, things that are in earth, things that you can see, things that you cannot see. Everything that was created by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Creator. And so the Creator existed before all creation. Now, in our previous verse, in verse number 15, we have learned that Jesus was not the beginning creation that God created, but Jesus was the beginner that created everything. Amen. And so, if there was any doubt in verse 15, this very next verse, verse number 16, clears all of that up in words that are too plain for anyone to miss, unless you just are predetermined to believe something that is not correct. And that is simply that our God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the image of God. He is the firstborn of every creature, and He is the Creator. Now, look at John chapter 1 again. Should have had you hold your place in John chapter 1. This truth lines up perfectly with John the Beloved's message in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, I'll begin reading verse number 1. We'll read a few verses. John chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. the same was in the beginning with God. Well, we know who that is. We could, if you don't know who that is, you could just keep on reading. And when you got down to verse number 14, the Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Well, almost everybody, especially in this area, if we were somewhere where somebody had never heard, now that happens even in our area, but I'm thinking in our church, we understand that Jesus Christ is the one that made flesh and dwelt among us. And so we understand that the Word that is made mention of in verse number 1 is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so verse number 3 says, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And so He created everything. Amen. "By Him were all things created," is exactly what the Bible says in our text verse in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 16. Listen, there was no universe until Jesus commanded there to be one. He spoke and it was done. There was no planets. There was no earth. There was no water. There was no animals. There was no sun. There was nothing, amen, until the Lord Jesus Christ created everything. What a blessing. He is the Creator. And we are responsible. The reason that folks don't want to believe in a Creator is because they don't want to be accountable. But just because you don't believe in a Creator doesn't mean you're not accountable. You're still accountable, amen, to God. And that same Creator provided a way for you to be saved, amen. What a blessing if you'll just put your faith and your trust in Him. Now, if Jesus were a created being, as some of the cults claim, because of, it says, firstborn of every creature in verse number 15, if that were the case, you'd have to have Jesus creating Himself. Now, I understand there's some arguments. When you mention that to people, they'll say, maybe it was that after Jesus was created, then God left Him to create everything else. It's just a hogwash, amen. There's no way that can be true because of the verse that we just read in the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse number 3, where the Bible says, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And so it would be impossible for that to be true. And so when these watchtower people and all that other religious group that starts trying to peddle such ungodly things, it's pretty simple to defeat it just by knowing a few verses of Scripture from the Bible. Now, this is a truth that we didn't learn. I understand when we read it this morning when we were speaking a little bit on the home and the family, and it was in Genesis chapter 1, and where the Bible says, and God said, "Let us," obviously speaking of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, which are there, we know they're implied there by the use of "us" and having the New Testament and understanding that. We know that the Godhead was involved in creation, but the Bible doesn't tell us in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 that Jesus Christ is the Creator, but we learn that throughout the New Testament Scripture. And so what a blessing it is to have the Old Testament and have the New Testament, and you compare Scripture with Scripture, you get a complete understanding of the fact that our Savior, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not only our Savior, He is also our Creator, and He is the very image of God. In fact, He is God. Amen. What a blessing. Don't you love the Bible? All right, so now look at verse 16. The Bible says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him," excuse me, "and for Him." Now, there's a lot of things that we could mention throughout that passage of Scripture, and a lot of things that we could preach on throughout that passage of Scripture as well. But look at verse number 17. It says, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." Now, one of the reasons they consist is because everything was not only created by Him, everything was also created for Him. You notice that at the end of verse number 16, it says, "All things are created by Him and for Him." And so then we find here in this passage of Scripture that by Him all things consist. And so all things were brought together by Him, and everything is held together by Him. There's a lot of people there worried about all kinds of things that they have learned from the news media and from school and all that kind of stuff. And they're concerned about global warming and all of this, you know, and you can be concerned about all kinds of things, or you can just believe the Bible. And if God created it, and we have the promise that He not only did He create it, by Him all things consist, I'm not really worried about any of that stuff. Amen. And so there are many things in this world that we don't have to worry about. Look, come to Genesis chapter 8. I mentioned Genesis a while ago. Ain't that, man, sometimes I hear myself and I'm like, what in the world? A while ago. Y'all put that in your dictionary. That means just a little while ago. Amen. But it's a while ago, is how you say it. Genesis chapter 8. I pick on my wife for being country, and she says, you ought to hear yourself. But anyway, we get along okay. We're still married after 38 years. We understand each other a while ago. Genesis chapter 8. Look at verse number 22. Look what the Bible says. It says, while the earth remaineth. Well, when the earth is not here, I ain't going to worry about it. But while the earth remaineth, now look at the promise from God. Seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now, I don't know about you, but this is a great promise that God has given us concerning the earth, amen. And we live on this earth, so that's a great promise. Now, I understand that, you know, seasons may change seemingly. It may be cold sometime when it should be warm, vice versa, and all that kind of stuff. But the Lord is in control of this thing, and He'll take care of it, amen. It's going to be all right. I'm not worried about global warming. There's a day coming. Look, come to 2 Peter chapter 3. Come to 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, there is a global warming coming, but the news media is not talking about this global warming. They want some more of your tax money, and they want to fatten their bank accounts a little more, so they want to give you something else to worry about, and something else to pay into, either greenhouse gases or whatever. I've got news for them. There was gases up there way before the greenhouse got here. Amen. I'm not going to elaborate any further on that. What is that girl's name? That young Democrat politician that's brain dead? What's her name? Cortez? Yeah, they all are. Somehow we need to get rid of all the cattle because of all the gas they were omitting or something. I'm thinking, this woman bumped her head on something besides a rock, amen. I'm sorry. Parents, I'm sorry. I don't mean. All right. 2 Peter chapter. We got to move. We got to. What is wrong with me this afternoon? 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number 10. There's going to come a time when this earth is destroyed. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And so there's coming a time when God is going to burn this earth up. But as of right now, while you and I are here on this earth, the Lord is very much in charge of His creation. And He's taking care of it. One of these days we're going to go to be with Him. And there's going to be a great tribulation and all that kind of stuff. And God is going to destroy the heaven and earth. And there's going to be a new one. Amen. And so, you know what? He'll take care of that one too. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 18. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18. The Bible says that He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Now here in verse number 18, it is quite obvious that Paul shifts gears from talking about Christ being the Creator and that all things, He holds all things together, by Him all things consist, and he starts talking about Him being the head of the church. I'm glad He's the head of the church, aren't you? Now, notice in this passage of Scripture how that the word church and body are used in conjunction one with another. It says, and He is the head of the body, the church. And so the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not talking about no denomination either, amen. And so Paul here, he begins to explain this to us. This is not speaking of the local church. We are a local church, but this is speaking of all born-again believers. Look at Colossians chapter 2. You're in Colossians. Look at chapter 2. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says, "And not holding the head from which all the body," so that is all the church, "by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministereth and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God." And so He is the head, the church is the body. Those of us that are saved, we make up the body of Christ, we make up the church of Christ, and He is the head. Listen, this is over and over. Back up to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I had several votes this morning from people who came through the line for me to throw that clock away back there. That's all well and fine on Sunday morning, but I bet a lot of people on Sunday afternoon would say, "Preacher, get two clocks." So you see, you have to balance that thing out. Ephesians chapter 1. Look what the Bible says in verse 22. The Bible says, "And hath put all things under His feet, and give Him to be the head over all things to the church." Verse 23, "which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." Now look at chapter 4. Chapter 4. Look at verse 15. "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Look at chapter 5. Look at verse 23. Chapter 5, verse 23, the Bible says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." And so we know from comparing Scripture with Scripture and studying Bible Scripture, we understand that there's only one body. In fact, the Bible says that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4, there's one body. And a person is placed in that body when they're born again. They're placed there by spirit baptism. I can read you this, or you can turn if you'd like. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. When you are saved, the moment that you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, man, all kind of things take place. We don't realize it. All I remember about trusting Christ as my Savior is a burden of sin being lifted, a burden of guilt being lifted. And man, what a blessing. I was just thrilled to death to be saved. But at that moment that I trusted Christ, I had a heart transplant that I didn't know anything about. There was a stony heart taken out and a heart of flesh put in. I was baptized and didn't even get wet. Amen. So you say, what are you talking about? Well, let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. The Bible says, "For by one Spirit," notice the capital S, Holy Spirit, "are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit." So every born-again believer in the church age, it doesn't matter what their age is, it doesn't matter what their color is, it doesn't matter what country they're from, it doesn't matter what their background is, what their pedigree is, what their level of education or their amount of their wealth or lack thereof, everyone that has ever been saved has been baptized into one body, and that is the body of Christ. Now, saved people, there are people all over this world who are our brothers and sisters in Christ because we are a part of that same body and we've never met them. One day I think we'll get to in heaven. What a blessing that'll be. But we're all part of the same family of God. Let me read you one more thing. Come to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'm not showing you anything this afternoon that you don't already know. But when it comes up in the passage, you don't skip it. You just go through it. Amen. So Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 5. "So we, being many," now the world and Satan and the flesh will try to convince you that there's only a remnant. In fact, I mentioned the other day, I was talking to this guy on the street from New Jersey. And he made the comment to me, he was thrilled to death that we were out on the street being a witness. This was last Saturday. He was so excited to see people stand up for the Lord. He said, sometimes I feel like that we're the only ones. But look what the Bible says here. So we being few. Now, that ain't what it says. Being many. Many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. And so I like that. There are many. Don't let your flesh convince you that there's no one else. And I know that compared to the number of folks that don't want anything to do with God and aren't interested in the things of the Lord, you are not in this alone, amen. There are many. I really love that. I love that passage in Revelation chapter 5 talking about all those around the throne from every nation and every tribe. And they're singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who have taken away our sin." Man, talks about the blood of the Lamb. What shouting time, amen. And so there's numerous folks who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as their Savior. And they're all over the world, amen. In fact, I just saw it from two of our missionaries this morning. I believe a missionary, what is his name? Ruckman. He was just here not too long ago. He shared a picture. His wife was leading this young lady to the Lord. Kenny Cermak had someone else to be saved just the day or two, maybe this morning even. They're way ahead of us. And so, listen, people all over the world are being saved. There's many. Just because we're not seeing folks saved here as many as we would like to see doesn't mean people aren't being saved. And I praise the Lord that people are still trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. What a blessing it is to be involved in missions, amen. Have fruit to our account. Now, this I'm not going to say much about this. There's a lot we could say here talking about this being baptized into one body and that Christ is the head of the body of the church. I just want to give you, if you've never heard of this group of people, good for you. What a blessing. If you have, I want to warn you about them. There's some things called Baptist Briders. And they have this idea, this religion that you have to be baptized in their church or you're not going to heaven. And they think that, you know, they're the only church. And I'll tell you something. If you've been saved and you've been baptized, you don't need to be baptized again. I don't care. If some church wants you to do that to join their church, I'd just find another church. Amen. I'll tell you, you don't have to be baptized twice, and they aren't the church anyway. That's not talking about a local church. Praise the Lord for every local church that is Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-practicing. But there is a large, universal, unseen church. I shouldn't say universal. There's a large, unseen body of Christ, and I'm glad that I am a part of that body of Christ, amen. And so don't buy into that garbage. Amen. Now, let's see. Let's look at something else. Come back to verse number 18. Let me read verse number 19. We'll get a couple more things here. It says, For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. I was supposed to read. Let me look at chapter 2. I was supposed to read chapter 2, verse number 19 to go along with that. Now, just in case that group of religious crowd thinks that this body is some local group, look what the Bible says here in Colossians chapter 2. Not holding, verse number 19, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. And so this is right now. This is present tense. There is an unseen body of believers that have been baptized into the body of Christ, and this is not talking about a local assembly. Praise the Lord for the body of Christ. Now, let's look at one more thing in verse number 18, and I'll be done. Verse number 18, Colossians chapter 1, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Now, obviously, the word preeminence means superior in rank or dignity. And Jesus Christ should always be given the preeminence. He must be above all. Amen. He is the one that we worship. He is the one we serve. He is the one we follow. He is the one we trust. He is the one we read about. He is the one we lean on. He is the one we sing about. It's all about Jesus, amen. In fact, this Bible is a hymn book. It's all about Him, amen. And so, praise the Lord. So, John the Baptist said it right in John 3 and verse number 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. And so, the Lord Jesus Christ needs to have the preeminence in our life. Amen. Father, thank You for the Bible, and thank You for an opportunity to look at a couple of verses of Scripture this afternoon. Thank You for the good singing, the good fellowship, the good day that You have given us. We thank You for Your blessings upon us and Your goodness toward us. We sure love You, and we sure thank You for loving us. Thank You for this body of believers and the opportunity to be a part of this fellowship. We thank You for all that You have done and are doing for us. Thank You for the number of folks You've been sending to our church, people being saved and encouraged and all these tremendous things. And we thank You for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.